your words upon our hearts, I pray that they will make us alive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts of Apostles. Acts of Apostles. That's in the New Testament. If you open further, if you see Genesis, it's too early. Just keep on opening. If you see Revelation, you've gone too far. Go back. If you see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are nearly there. So Acts of Apostles. I wait for all of us to get there. And if you are there, open to chapter 19 of Acts of Apostles. Chapter 19. And together we are all going to do a simple exercise this morning. But I want us to look at scriptures. Brother Liu, did you get my call? I called you. You didn't get my message. Don't worry. Good. Yeah. I left a message for you. So over the past few weeks, and before we go into chapter 19, we had been looking at the story of how Moses brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by the great and mighty hand of God. And we saw how Pharaoh, who was the principality over Egypt, would not let the children of Israel, would not let them go easily, until God wrought miracles before the sight of Pharaoh through Moses. And eventually, after the last, what they call plague upon Egypt, which was the death of the firstborn of everything in Egypt, God miraculously keeping his own children, averting death over them by their obedience to his instructions, God let the children of Israel go. And we saw that it was only by death that eventual redemption or deliverance will happen. And we also saw in the Gospels how the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was going to deliver the demoniac of the Gadarenes, how there was a storm that began, and the boat in which he was going was being filled with water. And Jesus Christ rebuked the wind and spoke to the seas to be calm, and it happened. There had been a demonstration of power, and eventually that demoniac was delivered. So in all of these things, we see great acts of power being taking place. And one question I want us to ask ourselves this morning: what is the Christian life about? Is it just to come to church, listen to a message, and that's all for the week? Next week, we come to church, listen to a message, and that's all for the next week. And we go week after week until the day we die. Is that all? No. Okay, what else is there in the Christian walk? So let's make it a little bit interactive this morning. And I'll start with my daughter, Mary. What is the Christian life about for you?
It's about building a personal relationship with God.
It's about building a personal relationship with God. All right? Your mommy beside you.
Um,
What's a Christian walk? What is it about? You are a Christian. Why?
To me, I see it as a lifestyle. Knowing God, apart from having that personal relationship,
okay,
also spreading the word of God to people around us by showing the love of Christ in us to those around us.
By showing his love to the world. Right? Brother Ken.
The Christian life is about living a life that is pleasing unto God.
Okay.
Negating the rules of do me, I do you. I mean, paying evil
for evil,
evil. Mm-hmm. Tooth for tooth. So the lifestyle that is full of love that people of the world cannot understand.
Mm.
Rather, they call you fool. It doesn't have sense.
Amen.
But a lifestyle that the Holy Spirit auctions, a lifestyle that is perfect, just like in the Garden of Eden, when Adam woke up without anyone telling him what happened when he was asleep. He said, this is my partner, let me put it in my own words, made of from my rib. Who told him? Nobody did. So he was in that nature, he was perfect. And Jesus Christ also came to tell us, be ye perfect because your Father in heaven is perfect.
Okay.
Praise God.
I perceive that somebody has done you in the past. All right. So a life leading to perfection. All right. Sister Naija.
I would say almost similar to what Brother Ken said, just imitating Christ, growing in the knowledge of him and doing his will. Because, you know, like we can read the Bible, but if we don't live out what Christ has called us to, then we're really just being hypocrites. So doing the will of the Father and the Son.
Doing God's will.
Yeah.
Okay. Sister Anna. You thought I won't call you, eh? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Let your husband take it since you are tired.
Well, I think Christianity, because I'm a Muslim.
Okay.
Well, I was a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe on the Christianity, and I'm just like, the Muslim believe on God, so because it's only one God. I think to be a good Christian, you have to know how to treat each other better.
Okay.
We have to love each other, not to hate each other.
Amen.
That's what I think a good Christian is.
All right.
Not to just come to church and pray every Sunday, thinking that you're a godly person. You have to have God inside of you. That's what Christ preached to everybody. That's what I listen to. That's what make me come to church.
Wonderful.
I don't come to church to pray. I come to church to listen and learn and do what needs to be do out there.
Okay.
As much as I can.
All right. Thank you. We shall be doing some prayer together today. Okay. Ibrahim, you know, I see that the Lord is working in you. What have you been seeing so far?
What was the question again?
Okay. There's something that has been happening inside you, right? And God is working in you. So what do you see as, why am I a Christian? Why has this hunger? You know, you have a Bible. You want to learn to pray. Why?
I feel like Jesus and God is calling me. Like, this is what I'm meant to be. This is what I'm meant to do and stuff like that.
Amen. You're meant to be with Christ. I like that. Okay. Funto.
So Christianity is just you and God having a relationship. Is it together with one another? Having a relationship and just you and God getting, having a, you know, a very close, neat, tight relationship with God, growing and just doing what he says. You and him, not just you going to him when you need something, but like in every single step of the way, you're like together like this.
Like this. I like that. All right. Let's hear some English from the prof. Prof, can you tell us some things about why you are a Christian?
I think fundamentally, it's about us receiving the love that God has for us. That is what I think, where I think it starts from. And then living out that love in different dimensions. And that is we representing him authentically and fully to the rest of the world and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also factoring God into everything that we do. I think, was it Funta just now said, it's not just when things are going great, but when things are not going great, we still are closely in need to him. And so the kind of relationship that we have with him is something that is tangible. The Bible says that God spoke with Abraham and with Moses face to face as a friend speaks to his friend. So if we look at Bro Ken talk about his partner, that you get home at night and you sit at the dinner table and you say, hey, sweetheart, or honey, like Sister Honey's looking at me now. Hey, honey, how are you today? And then that's how God wants to talk with you. And when you get to that level of intimacy, that's when you can now say that you know him, because knowing him is what Christ requires of us. You know him intimately, that you can genuinely and truly represent him to the world.
Okay, thank you. And let's hear from that's man prof, the woman prof back there. Give it to the woman professor so that she can also tell us her own.
I think everything has been said, really, that it's about both being having a relationship with God, and the outworking of that is going to be in our relationship with one another, because as we receive from the Lord that which he has impacted in us because of that relationship, then we can work it out in our relationship with one another.
Okay. So do we all hear what everybody has been saying? Because if I were to ask 4 people to describe an elephant, no 2 people will describe it exactly the same way. Some might see it from the trunk, some might see it from the legs, some might see it from the ears, but we're all describing the same thing. God is love. We all acknowledge it. God is perfect. We all acknowledge it. And God wants to show his love and his perfection to the world. But guess who God uses? Us. And God, being in us, is able to display his attributes to the world. You said, you know, this is where you are supposed to be. Yes, that's because this is where God wants us to be. We learn from each other. We learn from his word, and we go out into the world and be like Christ, so that the world that won't read any Bible, they will see God where? In us. So that they will see God in us. Now, you see, there's something that God wants to do And when Brother Ken, Brother Shegun talks about us being perfect, in our human form, we cannot be perfect. But guess what? Christ is perfect. And so what God wants to do is to make us like Jesus. And that is every day we come to church, every day we live, that is what we pursue, to be like Jesus. When we are like Jesus, you see that love we talked about, that do me, I do you. When, as you become like Jesus, that do me, I do you, it will fade. The love that in many religions, there is an eye for an eye. So if Sister Kike plucks out my eye, what do? I will pluck out her own eye. And a tooth for a tooth. If Ibrahim breaks my tooth, what do? I break his own teeth. But do you know what Jesus said? If somebody plucks out your eye or somebody slaps you, what do? Forgive. Turn the other cheek. The easiest thing to do is when they slap you, what do? You panel beat their faces. It's easy. But for somebody to slap you and you say, I forgive you. For somebody to take from you and you say, can I help you more? For somebody not to invite you to their own party and you invite them. So for somebody not to be able to afford it and you invite them. For somebody not, you know that this person, they won't be able to repay you your money. This person says, borrow me money. And you say, here you go. Brother Ken says, may I please borrow your shirts? I said, not only my shirts. Look, have my coat. I have two. You can have one. This is what the Christian work is about. But naturally, it's not possible. Naturally. Even with Christ, I'm still asking Jesus to please help me. Because sometimes when she does wrong to me, it's hard to do right back. Oh, when me, I do her wrong. And it's easier for her. Thank you, women. Sister Kami, I will take it. It's easier for you. But with Christ, all things are possible. So when we come, this is what we have come to do. To learn about this Jesus that can make us, because this is the power of God in us. Jesus said something, Ibrahim, if somebody does you bad and you do them bad back, it's natural because that is what the world does for themselves. But if somebody does you bad and you repay that bad for good, then you are a Christian. Then you are a Christian. Because it's the power to live not like the world lives. It's the power to live like Jesus lives. When Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they are doing. This is what Jesus, and this is what it means to be a Christian. It's not what is ordinary. It is not what is natural. Mm-mm. Anybody can do natural. Anybody can do natural. You know? Sister Jackie, anybody can do natural. Of course. But to be able to be extraordinary or supernatural, it takes Christ. It takes Christ. So let me, you know, last week we read some things. Let me read one more today. Let's go open to Acts 19, and I'll show you something that happened. We already talked about it last week, but I want us to see it and look at how do we come to this place of being this kind of people. Acts chapter 19 from verse 11. Acts 19. Sorry. Yes, Acts 19 from verse 11. Titi, will you read for me? Do you have NLT there? New Living Translation. From verse 11, please, and read loud.
God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles.
Stop there 1 second. What did God give Paul? Power. Please, I want you to note that. Power. God gave Paul. Did the power belong to Paul? No. God gave Paul power. Okay, go on.
When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, "I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored.
Thank you. Can stop there. All right. So these were the sons of Sceva. They saw what Paul was doing. You know, people will come. They had handkerchief. If the handkerchief touches Paul, and they will use that handkerchief to put it on people in their houses and they will be healed. You know, this was a miraculous work that God did through. It wasn't Paul. Because sometimes when you see, and it's sad, when you see miracle workers, and well, there's nobody who is really a miracle worker. It's God who is the miracle worker. But for some people, when God has used them, and did God use Paul every day of his life like that? No, this was a special time. God used him for a period like that. At other times, God used him in another way. But for this one, God used him that if something touches Paul and touches another person, the person will be healed. But some people, you know, when they see that, they want to do like the sons of Sceva. They want to fake it. Because the sons of Sceva, they saw what was happening to Paul. They too wanted to try this. They went and saw evil spirits in somebody. And they said, "Evil spirits, in the name of that God, that Jesus that Paul is serving, come out." Maybe they had been trying it and they had been working for small, small evil spirits. Yeah, that's, you know, there's small, small evil spirits. There are. Because there are some evil spirits, you have to pray and fast for them to go. Therefore, evil spirits, without doing anything, just talk to them, they will go. If you have been trying it with small, but this one, is the, in my language, they call it Ogbologbo. Ogbologbo, the strong one that these sons of Sceva they met. And what did the evil spirit say? "Paul, I know. Jesus, I know him." Let me tell you something else, brothers and sisters. Do you know that your names are known in hell? Because when you live like Christ, you begin to do damage to the kingdom of Satan. Each and every one of us, we were once under the fatherhood of Satan. But by being a Christian, most likely somebody prayed for us. And when you pray for somebody, you are praying for this person to be healed, or that person to be delivered, or that person to be born again, to be a Christian. they will know you in hell because people are being delivered. That is why that evil spirit could say, Paul, I know, because of what he had been doing. Jesus, I know. But you, who are you? Who are you? And what did that evil spirit do through the man that they inhabited? They pounced one man, pounced on seven people, nakeded them, beat them till they were battered, and chased them out. That is when they say power pass power. Well, you know something, like I told you, the power is not because it's Paul's. It belongs to God. And the same power that God has given to Paul, he has given each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. But do you know the difference between we and Paul? I will come there in a second. Let's go to another account. So go back a few chapters. This same Acts of Apostles. We are in chapter 19. Let's go to chapter 8. And Titi, would you help me read again? From verse 4. From verse 4. And before you read, let me just tell you the background of the story. You see this Paul, who God is using to do damage to the kingdom of Satan. He wasn't like that before. Paul, what he was doing before was he was going from church to church to kill Christians. You know, like some people who go to church to attack Christians. That was what Paul, like they say Boko Haram or ISIS. That was what Paul was like before he became a Christian and God began to use him. He was going from place to place to hunt out Christians and kill them until he met with Jesus. Okay, now read from verse 4. Yeah.
But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went.
Actually, read from verse 3. Sorry, read from verse 3.
But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church.
Okay, who is Saul? Paul. His second name was Saul. What's your second name?
Rebecca.
Just like we say, Titi Rebecca. So his name was Saul Paul, Saul of Tarsus. What's his father's name? I've forgotten what his father's name was. But like his first name, second name, so he was called Paul and he was called Saul. Okay, Titi Rebecca, go on. Verse 3 again.
But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now the people believe Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard the people of Samaria had expected God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and held captive by sin." "Pray to the Lord for me," Simon exclaimed, "that these terrible things you said won't happen to me." After testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages.
You can stop there. Thank you. So we saw this is another story. We saw the power of God upon Paul, Saul, when he cast out demonic spirits. Here we are seeing the power of God upon Philip. This man called Simon, he was a magician. He was a sorcerer that people in the whole of Samaria, they believed that the power of God was upon this man. And that is what Satan does. He fakes the miracles of God. Until Philip came into that village and he saw the real power of God. The people themselves, they saw the real power of God upon Philip. That even Simon the sorcerer, Simon the magician, he saw that, this power, he passed my own words, power. And he said, okay, I need to tap into this man's power. But he thought that that power could be purchased with money. Because all he had was what he could buy with physical things. All he had was fake power until he saw the real power of God. That word, magician or magi, is also used for the what we call the wise men. This is just some biblical history. How many wise men were there? You see, everybody says three. They were numbered. But we've all believed it's three. Like in Garden of Eden, what apple did Adam and Eve eat? What fruit did they eat? What fruit did they eat? Sorry? Fruit of death. Well, what fruit was it? It was apple, right? Because we see in picture, we see apple. So sometimes we need to read our Bible too. Yes. There were, it just says wise men or magi came from the east. Remember when we did that story about Nebuchadnezzar, about the Chaldeans? They were from the east. And when the Bible talks about from the east, it talks about the powers that are not godly powers. Powers, they are real powers, but they are demonic powers. They are satanic powers. The roots and the source of these powers are also the powers we saw in Egypt. The magicians in Egypt, you know everything that Moses did. What did they do? They copied, they did it until they got to some power where they couldn't fake it any longer. What did they say? Pharaoh, this one must be the hand of God. Oh. This is the hand of God. Because the ones we have been trying, you know, we've been doing it, but this one, he passed our own power. And that is what Christ does in the life of a Christian. You see, many times, God doesn't open our eyes to see into the evil realm, into the demonic realm. But they see us. There was a time God allowed the eyes of a servant to be opened into what was happening in the spirit world. We read of when Elijah, sorry, Elisha when there were soldiers that surrounded his camp, and his servant Gehazi, what he was afraid. Ah, Elijah, soldiers have surrounded our camp. What are we going to do? And Elisha said, God, allow his eyes to be opened. And what Gehazi saw were angels surrounding them. The power of God, passing the power of all the soldiers that surround them. Brothers and sisters, in the Psalms, we read that God said that he will keep his angels charge over us, lest we dash our foot against the stone. He will keep his angels, and God is keeping us. God is with us. And that is the power that is upon our lives. If it were possible, none of us would be alive. Because the moment you declare for Jesus, Satan will kill you. If it were possible, it was not possible. Because the power of God is upon your life as a Christian. And God wants you to live in such a way, just like Paul lived, just like Philip lived, just like Moses lived. To live a life of the demonstration of his power within the world. Because when you are a Christian, there has to be something that demarcates you from everybody else. It takes the power of God for somebody to do you wrong and you give them right or good in return. It is the power of God upon you. It takes the power of God for somebody to slap you and you forgive the person. The natural thing to do will be to give them for how they have given you, even more. But for you to be able to say, I forgive you, it takes the power of God. And it's this same power that Christ wants each and every one of us to live in on a daily basis. That power cannot be purchased with money. You can't. But how can the power of God rest upon us now that we are Christians? Let's open to Acts chapter 1. And we're going to start taking this journey. Acts chapter 1. Sorry, is it chapter 1 or chapter 2? Chapter 2, I believe. No, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, yeah. Titi, can you help me again? Acts chapter 1. So that same Acts, book of Acts, just go back a few chapters, go to chapter 1. And this time, read from verse 8.
But you will receive power.
But you, this is Christ talking to those gathered around him before he ascended into heaven. He says, but you, who is you? How many people? All of you, you will receive power when and how? Go on.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, through Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Okay, wait a second. You will receive power for what? To be my witness. Okay, do we have any lawyer here? Sister Ura is a lawyer. What's used to be? you're a teacher, but you are a lawyer. Wait, you read law, Abby? You read law. So you are a lawyer. Because no matter what else you do, look, you see me? I'm a computer scientist, but all of you will ever call me a farmer because that's what I read. So you're a lawyer. All right. If Sister Kemi comes to court and says, I had somebody say that Brother Bumi did it, what kind of account is that called? That's hearsay. Is it admissible in courts? Thank you. But if Sister Kemi says, I saw Brother Bumi do it, is that admissible in court? Exactly. That is what it means to be a witness. You can't be the witness of Jesus if you haven't seen Jesus work in your life. All those sons of Sceva, they were not witnesses of Christ. They saw what Paul did and they tried to do it. But you are witnesses of Christ as you begin to see Christ walk in your life. And he says, you shall be receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be what? You will be witnesses. You'll be my witnesses to the world. Which means that whatever you have seen me do in your life, whatever you have witnessed, first person account, not whatever Sister Kike has told you about me, not what Ibrahim has told you about me, but what you yourself have witnessed, you will go and show it and tell it to the world. Brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus wants to do. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what we've been talking about. The love is because Christ has done something within you that you're able to love somebody back. Before, if Christ did not come upon me and I was married to this woman, sometimes she will come to, well, I won't be in church, I won't be a pastor. But if you visit our house, you might see one part of her eye black. Because I was a violent person. I confessed my sin here. I fought my sister because of Dodo. But that's who I was. And I know what Christ has done in my life. Because me too, I'm a witness of what God has done. I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm not the same person. Why you say, ah, you too, you don't wrong. Don't say, ah. But that is what it means to be a witness. I have witnessed the power of God in my life. And each and every one of us, God wants us to witness his power in our lives so we can tell the world, this is what God has done for me. When they ask you, what is it about your life? There's something different about you. Ibrahim, you used to do this with us. You're no longer doing it with us. You can tell them, I'm a different person now. That person that you used to know is dead. It's somebody else now. That is what it means. That is the power of Christ. But you will receive power. Let's go on. Titi.
After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him.
Okay. Now go to verse 14. Because he told them that you will receive power, but you have to do something. You have to do something. Verse 14, what does it say?
They all met together and were constantly united in prayer.
Okay. They all met together. Sorry, let's lose track. Where does it say you have to wait? What verse was that? Verse 4. Come on, yeah. Okay. Can you read verse 4 for us? This is Jesus Christ telling them. It's verse 4.
Once when he was done eating with them, he commanded them, mm-hmm. Do not leave Jerusalem.
Don't leave Jerusalem. But
until the Father sends you the gift he promised.
Okay. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait till this promise of God, this Holy Spirit that God promised. And it's through the Holy Spirit that you'll get that power. So wait. And then we go to verse 14. They had been waiting. It says, all of them, they continued in one accord. So the first thing that marks the power of God upon a congregation or upon a people who wants the power of God upon their lives is what? Unity. If me and Sister Ura, I'm telling, that sister, she's a bad sister. I can't tolerate her. And we come to prayer meeting and we are praying. God, let your power come. Let your power come upon us. Will God hear that prayer? No. See, there are some prayers that people pray. It doesn't go more than the ceiling. Because where there is no unity, the power of God, the Holy Spirit will not meet. I know. Because there are times I've come to church in the morning when I've prayed that the Lord will use me to speak to his congregation, to his children. And I find myself either thinking or speaking sharply to somebody that morning. It actually happened to me here, where I was on the keyboard, I spoke sharply to somebody, and the Holy Spirit convicted me immediately. Convicted me immediately. That's wrong. Ah, I do it too. Yeah. It's not that I abused the person, no. It's the manner in which I spoke. Sister Jackie, let me tell you something. You will get to some places where, to some people, it's not wrong. But to you, the way God is dealing with you, you're not supposed to do it. Because when there are certain things you begin to deal with God, to other people, God will allow it to. But for you, mm-mm. Mm-mm. And one thing I've noticed, when the Holy Spirit is going to work, if there's discord, he will leave. The Holy Spirit is sensitive. He's sensitive to the way you treat other people. Because the way Christ will treat other people is the way he wants you to treat other people. Where there is harshness, he will not be a part of it. So they were all together in one accord. They were in unity. What they were asking for, they had the same prayer, the same beating. You know, it wasn't that some were praying, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Some were praying, Holy Spirit, bless us with money. Some are praying, I want miracle. Mm-mm. There was one thing. Lord, we thirst for your power. We thirst for your infilling. We want you to come and be in us and with us. Okay, so they were in one accord. What's the next thing?
Along with Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Before that, it says they were all?
They all met together and were constantly united in prayer.
Constantly united in prayer. Constantly united in prayer. This one, they didn't meet for 2 minutes, so, and the Holy Spirit came. It wasn't for 2 minutes. It wasn't for 2 days. I think the period was about how many days? Was it about 40 days? He didn't tell. But it was for a long period between when Christ gave them this commission and the Holy Spirit came. It was a matter of some days. Because we know that between Christ's ascension and Pentecost, I think the record, that was about 40 days. So when they began to wait on God, that, Lord, what you have promised, fulfill your promise to us, they waited. They were tarrying. That is another thing about God. I want to introduce you, all of us, to. When we pray, God, he doesn't give the secret of his heart where you want to hurry away from him. You see, when you come to God, God wants your attention. When your heart wants quickly to just say a few prayers and go and do what you want to do, God will just be watching. Now we are talking about the power of God upon our lives. We are not talking about ordinary Christianity. When you come to God and you want to tarry in the presence of God, you've got to give your full attention, the full devotion of your heart to God. God will not take half attention and half devotion. No. You have to give everything. God, you have my attention. You know, let me tell you something. Sometimes when I'm talking to my wife and I'm doing something, she will pause She would let me turn to her and then continue talking. I hate that thing. But you know what she wants? She wants my full attention. How much more God? If you want to talk to God and you want God to begin to do things in your life, you have to, it's a determination within your heart that you are going to give God your full attention, your full devotion. That is the kind of power, that's the kind of prayer you pray. Another thing, when you pray, you said that they were all together in one accord. There's something about meeting God regularly. Not that you pray today, and then the next time God sees you is in another 4 weeks or 5 weeks, that you come to give your full attention or your devotion to God. Because what God is giving you in his power is something God doesn't give to everybody. You know that we said power pass power. But the kind of power God is going to put upon your life, if you want to be serious about him, is not ordinary power. But for God to put it upon you, you too, you have to do something to show the, to show God that, God, I'm serious about this. That is why your attention has to be full. Your devotion to him has to be full. The regularity with which you meet him has to be real. Let me give you an analogy. This is the person I love, so this is the only person I can give my analogy. If today I say, Sister Kemi, you know how we used to do it. All right, girl, I want to have a chat with you. Can we? Sister Jackie, you know about it, right? And we talk today, and the next time I come is in another 3 weeks. After that 3 weeks, the next time I come, 2 weeks after that, 5 weeks after that, would you take me seriously? No. No. There has to be a regularity, because there are things that, no matter how busy you are, brothers and sisters, let's be honest with ourselves. No matter how busy you are, what is paramount in your heart, you will make the time for. You will make the time for it. No matter how busy you are, what is paramount, you will make the time for it. And it's no different. If you're going to get serious about God, there has to be a regularity with you meeting with him. Also, apart from that regularity, let me tell you something. I'm talking from my own experience and what I've seen. When you say, God, I want to meet with you at 6 p.m. in the evening, God will be waiting for you. If you come 6 p.m., there's something about the, I can't explain, but there's a vibrancy in your meeting, in your prayer. You will feel that God is with you. But if you say at 6, you're not there at 6, you come at 7, you spend 5 minutes and you are gone. Those prayers will just be like, I don't know if you've ever said words and you know that these words are just from your mouth. It doesn't come from your heart. There's something about when you determine to meet with God, regularity, God will be there. God will be there. And when you decide to take him seriously, he will take you seriously. Let's finish up. Titi, go on.
Along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women and the brothers of Jesus.
Okay, thank you. So they were there. They were praying. Do you know something that happened? Eventually, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came. If you determine, Lord Jesus, I want your power upon my life. I want to be like you. Eventually, he will come. You cannot tell him, God, I want you to come at 5 p.m. No, nobody will do that to God. You know, we talked about the sovereignty of God. God will do as he pleases. God waits for us, but God wants us to wait on him and also wait for him. It's in the process of you, just that regularity, that devotion of heart to him, that you will just see that one day, something will just happen. Something will just happen. Something will just happen. And you have to continue in that, Lord, come, come. So, what I want us to practice today, because, you know, some of us are new to this thing called prayer. Just as the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they began to meet with Jesus, the only thing they knew about was John the Baptist teaching his own disciples to pray. And so they said, Jesus, look, we've been noticing that this man, you will go away from everybody to pray. You will go to pray. And we notice the result about your life is that you are not like us. There's something different about you. Because we are always seeing you are going away to pray. This prayer that you are praying, come and teach us how to pray. Because some of us might ask, how do I start praying? How do I pray? And Jesus taught them. He says, when you pray, go into your, what does he say? Into your closets. What it means, what it's saying by going to your closet. Do you know what closet is? Because culture is different from culture. In our own culture, closet is what? Wardrobe. That's your closet when you go into your wardrobe. It's not saying go into your wardrobe. Because back then, what they understood as closets, they had this cloth. If you see the Jews, there was one cloth that covered them. What they do when they pray is that they will take that cloth to cover themselves like this. And if you go to the Wailing Wall, when you see them, some of them will be covered. They'll be going like that. It's to give you privacy and aloneness so that you are not distracted by everything around you. That is what it means to go into your closet. So it's not only wardrobe. Sister Anna, if everybody around you is disturbing you, if it's the toilet, go to the toilets. If you can't find any place, what it means is just look for a place where you can be alone, where there are no distractions. When you want to pray, go into your closets and pray unto your Father who is in heaven. And how did he teach them to pray? It says, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Verses, and forgive us against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. If you want to learn to pray, that is the easiest prayer 101 that you can pray. Look for a quiet place. And that prayer is in Matthew chapter 6. If you want it, Matthew chapter 6. Go look for a quiet place where you can meet with God regularly. And from that prayer, you will begin to even develop more of what can I say to God? Lord, your word says that my Father who is in heaven. Oh, God, you are my Father. Ah, thank you that you are my Father. It is you who brought me into this Christianity. Papa God, I have no other father. My earthly father, they're not like you. They could have done this to me or that to me, but you give me food. You put a roof over my head. That is prayer. That is prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Father, this is Sister Kike did to me. Sister Kike didn't do anything. No, I'm just using that example. Lord, I had her in my mind, though. But please, help me to release her in my mind so that you will hear my prayer. Because you said that if anybody offends me and I don't forgive them, you too, you won't forgive me. So if you don't forgive me, all of my prayer, they'll just be dropping to the ground like rocks. But Father, I want you to forgive me. I want you to hear my prayer. So please help me. I forgive Sister Kike. I forgive Sister Kemi. I forgive Sister Wura. Or whoever you have, you know. So you are developing a prayer life. And as you do that, you know one thing? It will become sweet. It will become, because God will begin to speak into your own heart also. God will begin to tell you. It's not only things you are saying. There are certain things God will begin to tell you. Ah, my son, remember what you did here. It wasn't right. Oh, Father, forgive me. My son, there's somebody I want you to go and bless. This person doesn't have. Oh, and you have double. So I want you to go, and that is how it starts. And as you are in obedience to how God is dealing, once he tells you something wrong, say, Father, I won't do it again. Please forgive me. He tells you to do this. You obey him. You know what will happen? The power of God will become. Paul did not start by casting out demons. It was much more obedience that, like this, that now led to bigger things that God began to do in his life. And that is how the power of God upon our lives begin to grow. Small prayer, small time with him, small devotion to him, it begins to lead to bigger and bigger. Till what we see, you will speak to demons and they will come out. You will touch somebody, be healed. The person will be healed. That is how it happens. This is what God wants us to be as Christians. So brothers and sisters, it's not only coming to church Sunday and going home. No. We learn, we go, we do. So this week, find time to be alone with God. If it's just 10 minutes that you want, let that 10 minutes be regular. If it's 30 minutes you can do, let it be regular. But do it daily. And that way, God's power will begin to come upon your life. If you miss it one day, don't condemn yourself and say, because when you condemn yourself, the devil will join you in condemning you. That you'll be discouraged. You won't even want to do it again. If you miss it, just say, Lord, I miss it. Please forgive me. You start again. It might not be, you know, everything just, but small by small, you will get there. This is what it means to be a Christian. It's a journey. Let's walk it together. Let's all together pray the Lord's Prayer again. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done upon this earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'd like Brother Shegu and Brother Peter to please take the communion. We have community.